Hi, welcome to Civic's Change Agent Chat, Episode 7. During these chats, we will talk with change agents who are working to create a better health system for us all. I'm Stephanie Spriggs with the Center for Improving Value in Healthcare, or as we like to call it, Civic. In this chat, Civic's former CMO, Jay Wandt, is speaking with Greg Smith, late executive director of the Colorado Public Employees Retirement Association, or PARA. It is estimated that by 2030, Colorado's population over the age of 65 will increase by 150%. Colorado is known for being an active state, and as the demographics of the population shift, the demand for costly joint replacement procedures is likely to grow. In this chat, we talked to PARA, who is proactively addressing variation in joint replacement cost and quality through their ParaCare Select program for hips and knees. We recorded this chat in April 2017. Thank you for listening and enjoy the chat.
Hello, and thank you everybody for joining us for a Civic's Monthly Change Agent Chat. For those of you who haven't been with us before, my name is Jay Wandt, and I'm the Chief Medical Officer here at Civic. A few housekeeping things at the beginning, before we get started. The phone lines are muted right now, but we actually do want to have you join in to the discussion later on. So we'll be using the Q&A feature to field questions and allow you to make comments on the discussion. We'll run roughly, Greg and I will chat basically from now until about 20 after the hour, and the last 10 minutes we'll reserve basically to try to address your questions. The webinar is being recorded. We'll be posted to the Civic website, so you may access this information again at any time without any cost. So our usual intro is basically to describe American healthcare as by the definition of insanity, the definition of insanity being that doing the same thing, expecting a different result. So for American healthcare, that means if we don't change things, we get to keep spending twice as much as our industrialized competitors around the world and continue to get worse results. But I'm convinced that we can do better and that the different and better ways are unlikely to come from any central plan, not ours, not from Washington, and not anybody's. But I think innovation in the 21st century is likely to come from the local level, and in particular, communities where people find ways to work with one another. And indeed, when we at Civic looked, we found many Colorado examples. Limited resources, these change agents are starting to deliver on the promise of the triple aim: lower cost, better population health, and better patient experience. And so we're excited to bring these people to our stage so that we might all get smarter together. Today, we have a particular pleasure that we'll be speaking with Greg Smith, the executive director of Colorado PARA, who happens to be a fourth-generation Colorado native. I don't think we get many of those. He considers it to be a privilege to work for an organization that provides retirement security for 500,000 current and retired public school teachers, state troopers, snowplow drivers, and many others serving in roles that are vital to the state. Across the nation and in Colorado, prices for knee and hip replacements vary quite a bit. We've actually discovered that, known that for a few years here in Civic. If you look at our website, comedprice.org, out-of-pocket costs for knee replacements in Colorado can be anywhere from $20,000 to $58,000, while hip replacements can be as low as $21,000 and as high as $36,000. Colorado PARA is proactively addressing variation in joint replacement costs and quality through their ParaCare Select program for hips and knees. So, Greg, it's quite a pleasure to have you to talk about kind of this groundbreaking program that you have. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jay. Appreciate the opportunity to talk to your group today. It's a program that we're really enthusiastic about and have had some really strong results with.
Great. So our audience, I'm sure, kind of has there's a spectrum of basically of how much people have to understand about what a bundle is. Can you briefly describe what this program is? I mean, we talked about variation in the cost, but you know, what's better about a bundled payment in your experience?
Well, there's a couple of pieces that make the bundled payment important from our perspective. One is the ease for our participants to actually take advantage of it. And one of the advantages we felt was to be able to offer our participants an opportunity to go and get a hip or a knee replacement and not have the multiple billings and not know where the bills are going to come from and what it's really going to cost them at the end of the day. And we felt that as the plan sponsor, the ones paying the bills, we could look at where all those bills were coming from and coordinate with one of our partners in healthcare to pull all those pieces together in a single package, let us deal with those billing variances and the complexities of that, while giving our members a very clean and simple experience on how to access that care. And it was important because in our world, and I think in healthcare today, it's important to be motivating people's behavior through tools that are advantageous to them. The way we looked at it, we're not in a position to tell people they have to go to a particular location or that they can't go here or there. We wanted to what we call use carrots to draw people into making good decisions, to becoming consumers of healthcare instead of just users of healthcare. And so we looked at ways that we could accomplish that and to draw them into locations where we had negotiated a fixed rate, a bundled rate with the hospital, the surgeon, the anesthesiologist, everything from check-in to check-out. And if we could drive people there or entice people to make that option when they were making a decision about their hip or knee replacement, we felt that was going to benefit us as well as benefit them. But step one was building a bundle and an approach that was simplified for our members so that they were going to have a positive experience from that perspective.
So what I just got out of that is that I'm interested in, that I'm intrigued about, is simpler. Because if I'm a patient who's been through the healthcare system in general, simple's not the first adjective that comes to mind. So how does this actually work? So let's say I am one of your members, or say one of my daughters, because one of them is a school, or a couple of them are school teachers. She were a member of Para, and she blew out her knee playing Ultimate Frisbee. How would this actually work for her? Does she have to kind of raise her hand or sign up for this, or how does she actually get into the program in the first place?
Well, great question, and it's really where it does start. The way that it works is all she would need to know is that this program is available to her, and I have to say that's a challenge to get that information in front of people at the right time when they're making those kinds of decisions. One of the reasons we were intrigued by the hip and knee replacement focus was it is a surgery that frequently people have time to make a choice. It's not generally an emergency type of an event where they don't have a decision-making process to go through. Generally, they're meeting with a potential surgeon or maybe two of them and getting walked through the process, and they have a timeline that that's going to happen. And in that context, what we do is we inform our members that if they'll go to one of our designated providers of Paracare Select, which is a selection of several surgeon groups, they would sign up with one of those. They would go to one of those. They don't have to sign up anything. They don't have to give us notice. They just go to those particular designated doctors, and those doctors would treat them as they would any other patient, do the proper evaluation of whether they really need a knee replacement or hip replacement, what that looks like, what other alternatives there are, and advise them about that. In the event they made a decision that they did want to go forward with a replacement, that doctor takes it from there, schedules it at the appropriate facility that we've negotiated as a part of that package. And the real incentive for our members and the reason that they might be willing to do that is if they'll go to one of those designated doctors, we waive their copay in its entirety. So it's an economic incentive. It's dollars in their pocket by going to those doctors as opposed to the myriad of other choices that we make available in our network for delivery. So no one is prohibited from going anywhere. Nobody's lost any choices about where they can go, but they've got a new choice that would put some money into their pocket or keep some money in their pocket that they would otherwise have to be spending on their own hip or knee replacement. And that was really the underlying concept. And as you pointed out at the beginning, there's this variance in healthcare or in hip and knee replacement costs. And from our perspective, our analytics of it and the economic analysis was, we could afford to waive that copay in its entirety if we could get people to go to the right package, because we would save more dollars by them going to that package provider than it's going to cost us in the loss of that copay. And that's proven to be very accurate.
So I would get no bill at all, basically, if I decided on the package. I mean, I hear that I could still not do the package, still do everything a la carte. But if I decided on the package as one of your members, I get no bill?
That's correct. Until you get to the physical therapy stage, we didn't put physical therapy into the bundle because people are coming from all over the state and even out of the state to take advantage of this. So we wanted them to be able to do their physical therapy back at home and their location. So that's not a part of our package. So that is one lingering piece of the procedure that people have to deal with. But you're exactly right. There is no bill for any of the hip knee from check-in to check-out.
So now I'm really interested, but I'm also thinking, well, gosh, I mean, you said I have choice, but I kind of have a choice of a few different surgeons within the program. How do I know this guy's a good surgeon or this woman's a good surgeon?
Well, a great question. I mean, it's not all about the money, right? If you're going to have poor quality, you'd sure have rather have paid more and gotten better quality. And certainly we've experienced that people have this mindset that, wow, if it's a bargain deal, then it must be a lower quality deal. And that's something we have to try and break through with communication and showing the track record of how our members have experienced this package. And the reality is, when you really get down into it, the people, the surgeon groups, or the hospitals that are willing to enter into this partnership are the ones that have become extremely efficient and effective in doing these surgeries. They can afford to agree with us to do them at a lower price because they know they can do them without the complications and without the infections and various other things that drive up costs. So in fact, our observation was, as we negotiated this package, was the doctors that are doing that are having the better track records in terms of quality were more willing to engage in the conversation because they had confidence in their ability to predict what their cost and what their time commitment was going to be to any particular procedure. So while it's a little bit counterintuitive, the reality is that we felt like some of the best doctors and hospital facilities were the ones most anxious to be involved in this partnership because they were the ones most able to predict what their own costs and exposures were from being a part of the program.
So I'm feeling a little bit better about it because you're telling me that at least according to the, you know, the quality measures that I should be getting a good operation. No offense, but it's possible that they could be really efficient and not very nice to me still. Do you follow things like patient satisfaction, or how do you actually know that these are people that I'm going to feel good about as somebody handling my knee?
Absolutely. That's certainly the patient experience is critically important. And we've done a lot of work in follow-up after procedures to ensure that experience is a positive one. And in fact, we've probably gone a lot farther than anyone ever would have thought we would, because we really wanted to see what are people thinking about these bundles. No one has ever done this before that we had real access to. And there were a number of complications. I mean, we're only able to offer a few locations, yet we have members that are all over the state of Colorado. So we wanted to talk to them about the fact that we understand we're making you come from Grand Junction over the hills to get access to this. Yeah. How upset are you about that? Do you, you know, and be in a conversation about their experience. And that experience is leading up to the surgery as well as during the surgery and postoperatively. And we've gotten really solid feedback. We've had people come from out of state. We've had them from thousands of miles away that just happen to be retirees that are in our system and are able to come back and take advantage of this. We've in from a quality metric, our average time in the hospital is 2.2 days, right in line with average book of business from a broader spectrum of providers. So we're not seeing any deviations from that. In our interviews and follow-up, we haven't had any infections. We haven't had any readmissions out of all of the surgeries that we've had done within the package so far. So, you know, it's time will tell. We've only been doing it for 18 months. We continue to study that issue. We get the personal stories as well as the kind of the more technical metrics, and both of them are leading us to feel like people are having a positive experience and getting a positive level of quality versus the rest of the options that are out there for them.
Very cool. So give me an idea basically of how popular this program is. How many have gone through this program in the last 18 months? How many opted not to?
All right. In 2016, we had 132 hip and knee surgeries in our population. And out of that 132, 49 of them opted to participate in the package.
Okay.
So 30, I think that's 37% is our number. We rolled it out. We initiated this program in the middle of the year of 2015, and that's when we started getting traction. One of the biggest challenges in this is, as I mentioned previously, getting the information in front of people when it matters. We're finding that once somebody is pretty far down the road with an existing surgeon, if that surgeon's not a part of our package, to turn them and say, walk away from that surgeon and pick up a different one to save those co-insurance dollars, that copay dollars, not a good odds bet. You need to get them earlier in their decision-making, earlier in that process of working toward a possible replacement. And so we're working on strategies to identify potential candidates earlier and do some, focused messaging to them. It's a difficult process, but we can monitor some of the imaging and those kinds of things leading up to a potential surgery and at least try to identify some people. And it's just a general education and communication challenge that we'll continue to tackle. But out of those 49, a couple of the other interesting statistics are that when we look at that cost and we look at what we experienced as the payer on behalf of those 49 people versus what the average is that we're paying across our entire population, we saved about $580,000 in costs on those 49 surgeries last year. That's a good number. It doesn't dramatically move the dial, but it's good traction and it's making a good difference and our people are having a good experience. So seems to us like a win-win where we're paying less and our members are certainly paying less and hopefully and so far experiencing a positive surgery. So interesting experiment.
Do you have any sense about how much your members are saving? I mean, how much cost would they have incurred going through the traditional route versus doing this?
Well, it does vary significantly because depending on whether they've already eaten up their deductible or they're at their maximum payout already, then they're not going to have saved as much. But if you took somebody that's not in that circumstances, it's anywhere from $10,000 to $12,000 that they would have paid out of pocket that they're saving. So meaning real numbers for them. And we've had a lot of feedback and a lot of personal stories about exactly that from our participants where they've indicated, I wouldn't have been able to do this but for this program, and now I'm able to get back to my active lifestyle. You know, we've had some experiences where people have said, I was going to wait until I was on Medicare before I was going to do this, but now I get to do it earlier. which, you know, sort of means that we're paying for something that Medicare would have paid for in the future. But we're still believers that by having them be more active sooner, they're going to be healthier people over the long run, and we're going to have less cost over the long run. But there are certainly some individual circumstances where maybe it enticed somebody to have it sooner than they would have otherwise, and costs could have been shifted to somewhere else. But those are kind of one-offs, I think, and as a looking at it as a broader picture, we're pleased to have the opportunity to go down this path and have people take action on their condition when it's needed.
And from that story, I mean, people are actually getting something that they otherwise would not have because they couldn't afford it, is what I take away from that story, right? I mean, some people actually significantly improve their quality of life in a way that they wouldn't have been able to under a traditional system.
That's what we're getting from the individual stories. Really interesting.
Very cool. Well, I have a gazillion more questions, but we do have some from the chat audience. I think the first one comes from Mike Bergerson, who says, it sounds like this program is hospital-focused. Our ambulatory surgery center and attached recovery center perform approximately 800 hip and knee replacements per year. Who do we talk to about joining this? And do you work with ambulatory surgery centers versus inpatient facilities?
We do. We have 3 hospitals and 2 ambulatory facilities that are within our bundles. So we do, our surgeons do have the option in the appropriate circumstance to channel it to an ambulatory facility rather than a full hospital.
Great. Next one, I think also from Mike, is actually addressing, kind of the pragmatic day-to-day stuff. He says, how is post-operative care handled for bundle patients who have traveled possibly hundreds of miles for their surgical procedure, like that person from Grand Junction who's, you know, a member of yours, but had to come over the mountains in order to be able to get the procedure done? Well, you know, how is post-op handled back at home with their local physician? Or do bundle patients actually have to keep coming back across the mountains in order to be able to get care?
Well, again, it depends on what that post-operative care we're talking about, but certainly, as I mentioned, the physical therapy side of it is being done at home outside of the bundle. To the extent there are complications or other follow-up that needs to be done, yes, in some instances that would be meaning coming back to that surgeon that did the procedure. But again, they're not barred from going somewhere else. If they get back home and they're having complications or they need some follow-up, they can go and pursue that within the network that's available to them. They're not barred from getting other follow-up care, and certainly our surgeons will coordinate with healthcare providers that are accessible to the individuals. So it's not a bar. They're not fenced off from other providers in terms of being able to get that follow-up care if that's what's needed. And we track that because obviously that's a cost that we're incurring that's beyond the bundle and really twists a little bit the economics of the bundle. So we care about that. We monitor that. And we've had very, very little of it.
Okay, so it doesn't happen very often that somebody in Grand Junction or Durango or whatever needs to follow up with a provider there for a service that's already in the bundle, i.e. that you're paying twice. It doesn't happen that often?
Right.
Cool. All right. From Karen Curran, Mr. Smith, thank you for the town hall last night. Love those. As a para member, a para ambassador, how can the members help share this message? How does your membership actually kind of say, you know, this is a cool thing where I saved $10,000 and it was great? How do they actually share that?
Well, blow your horn as loud as you can for us every chance you get. We would love to have all the help we can get. And being an ambassador, you know how important we think communication is. We've got complex issues, and she's obviously one of the people that works with us and working with the legislature and so forth. So it's something that we really are trying to find new avenues to educate. As I mentioned, we rolled this out mid-year in 2015, And we did that because we didn't want to make it a part of open enrollment, because we felt like people are so overwhelmed with all the decisions that they're faced with in those circumstances, that we wanted to do this independently. And it was something that was just laid out for everybody. It wasn't a new premium. It didn't change anything. It was just a new opportunity for them. So we tried to really showcase it as we rolled it out. And we continue to do that at all of our open enrollment meetings to try and educate on this issue. But it's one of those things that unless you're facing it right then, it kind of passes in one ear and goes out the other. And trying to get that traction is really our biggest challenge. So I welcome the question and any input as to how we can address that question, because I think everybody, almost everybody, would want to take advantage of this if they really understood how it works. To be able to keep that kind of money in their pocket, we're finding that the feedback is extremely strong. And other than those people who can't quite get over the hurdle of, oh no, I got to pay more because I'm going to get better quality, those are tough. Those are tough people to migrate toward our way of thinking. And there are some that we can't get through to, but mostly it's just accessing them at the right time and a work in progress for sure.
So just curious, do you actually poll people about why they didn't choose the program? I mean, do you actually have a good understanding of why people opt out of it?
That's a great question, and one we have not done. I've felt a little timid about going to people and saying, hey, I know that you had a hip replacement. There's HIPAA violation number one. Number two, tell me why you didn't do it another way. So, you know, there's the usual healthcare world hurdles between me and being able to develop that data effectively. It's one of those that through our APA and so forth, we're working on, but I can't say great results have come to my attention from it yet.
Okay, great. We have a comment more than a question in the chat box from Amy Moyer, who says, we have a similar program in place for members of our cooperative here in Wisconsin. That's from the Alliance. So they're probably, you're obviously a pioneer, but it sounds like there are a few others out there that you can compare notes with and potentially learn a little bit more about.
Yeah, I would love to. We'll follow up, and would love to share information. You know, when we first built it, they had done this in California in the CalPERS or CalSTRS system, but the way they did it was by reference pricing, and they went out and negotiated with a number of hospitals, and then said, "Okay, folks, you either have to go to these hospitals, or you pay the differential between what the bundled hospital will do it for and what your provider is going to do it for." We didn't think that we could inject that into our environment, frankly. So we took the more the carrot approach than the stick approach. So, that's great to hear that Wisconsin's got a similar one. We'll share some notes with them.
Very cool. And then the last one we have is, before we wrap up, is again from Mike Bergerson. So can you share which hospitals and ASCs are in the program at this point? And then what quality metrics do physicians need to meet in order to be participants in the program?
The it's Rose, Swedish, North Suburban, the Muscular Skeletal Surgical Center. It's the Health One system. And let me look at my other notes here. And the Rocky Mountain Surgery Center is our fifth one. Those are the facilities. And the metrics for the surgeons, we worked with Anthem, and they really were a key to that piece of it. I'm not sure I can adequately describe what those criteria were, but I will talk briefly about what the negotiation is. You know, a lot of people have come and said, hey, I want to join this too, as surgeons or as hospitals or as providers or as networks. And the reality of how this negotiation works is the reason I was able to get a set of facilities, a network to work with us on this was with the hope that we would drive more volume to them. And that's the value add to them, is they get more procedures and they get to get greater volume from our population. So really part of it is that I can't negotiate the same deal with everybody, or then I have nothing to negotiate with, because it's all about my ability to drive my large group coverage, you know, set to a single or a subset of providers. And that's my negotiating power. And so I can't dilute that by offering it everywhere. Now, that being said, I would love to find some more locations dispersed across the state where my Grand Junction people wouldn't have to drive across the mountains.
Got it.
But as Civic knows all too well, the cost of healthcare and healthcare delivery across the state of Colorado is not a homogeneous issue. And therefore, negotiating a deal on the western slope is different than negotiating a deal on the Front Range. And so those dynamics are a part of it, and we will rebid this thing. We will take it back out to market at some point in the future after we have some more experience and open the door to other opportunities perhaps. But it will always be a subset of our network, because that's the concept, is driving volume to a subset of providers.
But just to anticipate their follow-up question, when does this go out to bid again? If I want to maybe, you know, cut you a better deal than Health One did, when can I ask that question again?
Great question. I don't know the answer to that. I'll be watching the Civic data and determining when the best time to return to market is.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Well, Greg, that was great, and I have like 20 other questions, but I think we're out of time at this point. We're really we feel lucky that to have your insight, and also to have such a pioneer here in the state on the new payment methodologies that are coming down from the federal government anyway. So this has really been great for us, and we want to thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks very much for having me.
Very good. All right. So for all of you listening, the recording of this discussion, plus a brief summary, plus a couple of patient stories, actually, will be shared via social media and on the Civic site this coming Monday. Please join us for the next Change Agent Chat on Friday, the 26th of May, when we'll be chatting with Lauren Toll and Margie Keens from the Aurora Mental Health Center about their integrated care clinic, Chamber Hope Health and Wellness. Thanks again. And everybody have a great weekend despite the 3 to 6 inches of snow that we're expecting. Thanks a lot.